Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're talking about some news on Giga Nevada. It's been kind of the forgotten child for Tesla with all the excitement around Giga Berlin, Austin, and Shanghai, but we do have some news on Giga Nevada to talk about today. We've also got more information on AI Day, another round of price increases from Tesla, some news on GM, and some macro news as well. Tesla stock on the day today finishing up ever so slightly again, 0.2% to $710.92 for the sixth green day in a row. That narrowly outperformed the NASDAQ, which was up about 0.1%, but the volume was pretty low again today, so we had seen that drop back down yesterday. Same thing today, now down to about 16 million shares on the day, lower than July's average. All right, so first up here, we've got news on Giga Nevada, and this is per Panasonic's earnings report. They often share little details about their automotive batteries business, and this report no different, thanks to Tim Permanent on Twitter for passing this along. But in the report, they break down their midterm strategy, highlight progress on key initiatives, and one of those is that automotive batteries business. And in that section, they say that they have a new production line in the North America factory that is expected to start operations in August 2021. We have actually talked about this expansion before, so we did know this was coming, but this is just the most recent update and confirmation of that timeline. As for what that means, if we flip back to Panasonic's last quarterly report, we can see that they intended this expansion to grow production capacity from 35 gigawatt hours toward 38 to 39 gigawatt hours. So adding 3 to 4 gigawatt hours capacity, or about 10%. Keep that in mind, we'll expand on that in a second, but just another little snippet here from Panasonic's last quarterly report that is worth a reminder of, is they do intend to still expand their production capacity of 18650 cells in Japan, so that could help support additional production of Model S and X. And then they do also mention 4680 cells here, saying that they want to advance in their R&D and install equipment for prototype production in fiscal year 2022 for Panasonic that ends in March 2022. So they're already in fiscal year 22 right now. So we have talked about that, but worth a reminder since we're looking at it. Anyway, on that production capacity for North America for Giga Nevada, that additional 3 to 4 gigawatt hours of capacity would be enough for about 40 to 50,000 long range packs, more for standard range packs. That's on an annual basis, so on a quarterly basis, you're probably talking about packs for an additional 10 to 15,000 more vehicles. May not sound like a ton, but my guess is that if Tesla can utilize those additional packs, put them into cars, that probably adds another $200 million or so in operating income each quarter. We're just at that really fun part in Tesla's business where they've started to cover those operating costs, so any incremental sales pretty much just flow right through the income statement, and I don't think the impact of that has been fully appreciated yet. I think we just saw a glimpse of that in Q2. Anyway, good to see that it sounds like that expansion is on track for Panasonic. The other note that they included in here on their automotive batteries business is that they did complete the launch of new cells with higher capacity at the end of fiscal year 2021, which again, for Panasonic, that would have been end of March. So we've also talked about that. I think that increased the energy density by somewhere around 5%, if I remember correctly, but good to have that confirmation from Panasonic as well. All right, next up here, we're going to talk a little bit more about AI Day. Some of you may have seen the article that I posted on this last night, but thanks to a listener that had passed this along, we learned that Tesla has now started to send out invitations for AI Day. So that graphic that we talked about yesterday that Dennis Hong shared out, no surprise that is on the AI Day invite, but what's really interesting is the text here that Tesla shares about the event in the RSVP section. Quote, "This invite-only event will feature a keynote by Elon, hardware and software demos from Tesla engineers, test rides in a Model S Plaid, and more. Attendees will be among the first to see our latest developments in supercomputing and neural network training. They'll also get an inside look at what's next for AI at Tesla beyond our vehicle fleet." End quote. Okay. Beyond our vehicle fleet. So yesterday we talked about the potential partnership with the UCLA Robotics Laboratory, Professor Hong there, as I mentioned before, who, by the way, ended up deleting a lot of those tweets that we had talked about yesterday. So we've already got a thread there on robotics, and lo and behold, there is a job listing here for software engineer autonomy mobile robotics for Tesla in Palo Alto, where AI Day is being held. So a very interesting title there, given the news of the last couple days. The job description reads, quote, "Tesla's mobile robotics team designs, builds, and deploys systems enabling scalable and flexible manufacturing lines for Tesla's growing product and factory portfolio. Products include multi-degree of freedom autonomous mobile robots. The team joins mechanical, electrical, software, and manufacturing engineering disciplines in a highly collaborative team. Core to the robot's full autonomy, the perception stack presents a unique opportunity to work on state-of-the-art algorithms for state estimation and motion planning, culminating in their deployment to real-world production applications. The perception software engineer will develop and own this stack from inception to deployment. The ideal candidate will have previous hands-on experience developing mobile robot perception solutions for commercial applications, end quote. Okay, so pretty interesting. I have a couple of comments on that. First off, a lot of that language is centered around factories or commercial applications. They mention flexible manufacturing lines here. And then the second thing that I would emphasize is that it doesn't sound like the mobile robotics team is something new. It sounds like they've been doing things like this for a while. I think we've even talked about a little bit of that sort of stuff in the paint shop, for example, if I recall correctly. So I think it'd be relatively fair to expect Tesla to talk about how they're using AI in manufacturing, give some specific examples, and outline their vision for what they want to do in the future. Now, I know it's fun to speculate about humanoid robots and those type of things. I personally don't really expect something like that from Tesla, but at the same time, you gotta ask yourself, okay, if Tesla is gonna be the predominant company in what Elon calls real-world AI, then at what point does something like that start to make sense? I don't think that's today necessarily, but nothing really stopping Tesla from providing their answer to that question. Remember, when we did ask Elon through the say process in the Q1 earnings call what the implications for Dojo would be beyond just training FSD networks, Elon did say that he believes, quote, long-term, people will think of Tesla as much as an AI robotics company as we are a car company or an energy company. I think we are developing one of the strongest hardware and software AI teams in the world, end quote. So perhaps even more notable in hindsight, the mention there of not just AI, but AI robotics. Finally then, I think it's important to note that maybe it's not Tesla trying to provide an answer here, maybe it's Tesla facilitating another company that's looking for an answer. So Elon did say that, quote, so a long story, but I think, yeah, probably others will want to use it too, and we will make it available, end quote. That referring to Dojo. So can't wait to find out more details. Definitely seems like something going on with Tesla AI plus robotics. And it's something that Tesla wants to emphasize because they believe it will attract talent that wants to work on that. Oh, and some people have asked, so unfortunately no AI Day invite here. All right, next up here, just a few days into Q3, we have our first price increase of the quarter for Tesla, continuation of everything that we've seen so far this year. This time on the Model S and the Model X. So both long range variants have been increased in the US by $5,000. So the S now starts at $89,990, the X at $99,990, both up $10,000 from their original post-refresh list price. Obviously, Tesla on the Q2 call said that the S and the X were still a loss in Q2 just because production was so limited, but I think the rest of the Q2 financials pretty thoroughly answered the question of whether the price increases were more a result of rising supply chain costs or materials costs, or whether they were a result of really high demand, and definitely seems like it is more the latter. I would expect that's also the case here on the S and the X. Remember, Elon said that once they're up to scale, the production costs for the S and the X refresh versions should be lower than they were pre-refresh, when at the tail end of the old version, the S started at $69,420, of course, and the X started at $79,900. So the starting prices today for these vehicles are $20,000 more than they were for the old version, and these vehicles are supposed to be cheaper to manufacture. Remember my comment to Kramer about the impact of the S and the X missing from Q2? Well, I may have actually been understating that impact with these recent price changes. If Tesla can get their production up and running on the new S and the X, the margins here should be truly incredible. I did also see that Tesla bumped the price up for the S and the X refresh in China. Obviously, none of those have shipped yet, but looks like they took the price there up by about the equivalent of $4,500. I'm not sure if things changed in Europe yet, but I'd expect Tesla to follow suit there as well. All right, next up here, we've got a continuation from either earlier this week or late last week, can't quite remember, but this is on President Biden looking to try to implement a target for electric vehicle penetration for U.S. automakers. We had mentioned before that they were looking at maybe 40% or so for 2030. Well, we've got a report here from Reuters that says that on Thursday, so tomorrow, the White House, as well as Detroit's big three automakers, so no Tesla in there, would just be GM, Ford, and Fiat Chrysler, or these days, Stellantis. But anyway, apparently they all plan to tomorrow announce a target of 40 to 50% of new vehicle sales by 2030 being electric models. Now, anytime we hear anything like this, we gotta be on the lookout for what that really means. And as I said, I was hoping that that wouldn't include hybrids, but here in the Reuters report, it says, quote, automakers' target includes full battery electric, plug-in electric hybrid vehicles, which also have gasoline engines, and hydrogen fuel cell models, sources said, end quote. Well, might as well just not say anything at that point, because that is just a complete cop-out if that is the case. That's like a half measure of a half measure, so call it a quarter measure, and even that's probably too generous. I should probably give it the benefit of the doubt, wait until tomorrow and see if that is confirmed, but That wouldn't surprise me if that's the case, and I fully expect them to try to make that as cloudy and as difficult to understand as possible. They'll talk about 40 or 50% electric vehicles, and then there will be a small little footnote that says, oh, by the way, an electric vehicle might still have this giant internal combustion engine in it. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. We'll call it an electric vehicle. Check the box and move on. Seems I have not done the best job of withholding judgment, so we will move on as well. Our last piece of news here comes from GM's quarterly earnings report. They reported a net income of $2.8 billion for the quarter, but did note that they had an $800 million charge related to the recall costs of the Chevy Bolt. So we had talked about that recall. There had been some fires that had happened. They've had to do a few things here, and their last press release confused me, so I'm not actually sure if they have resolved this situation or not yet, but regardless, an $800 million recall charge here. I'm not sure if that's in addition to any warranty reserves they had previously set aside. Not sure how their accounting is set up for that, but just to give some perspective on the size of that, it looks like, according to goodcarbadcar.net, that GM has sold life-to-date about 115,000 Bolts across Canada and the US. Let's say there's another 50% or so from that internationally, not sure what the numbers are there. I think it fell under a different brand for Europe, and I'm not sure if that has been recalled or not. But anyway, let's just say it's about 175,000 units. That should be the ballpark. $800 million across those units would be about $4,500 per car. That is an expensive, expensive recall. I'm not sure that Chevy's making any profit on the Bolt to start with, but even if they are, it's tough to imagine that this isn't taking away the vast majority, if not all of that profit. Anyway, this would be probably more than 10% of a hit to margin, assuming the average selling price is somewhere below $45,000. So it looks like a pretty rough situation there for GM with the Bolt, and these are the kind of growing pains that other automakers are going to have to experience while also competing with a now mature Tesla. Quick final FYI here, Elon did do an interview with Tim Dodd, Everyday Astronaut, so that is on his channel. If you happen to not see that get posted somewhere, definitely recommend checking that out. And that'll do it for today. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And I'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday, August 5th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.